Howdy, howdy, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with people who are black sheep and all our folks with clap cheeks. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
All right, what's going on? I did take your job at the beginning of this episode to do the 10 count off.
I did. I saw that. What was up with that? That was jarring.
Do you think that ever happened at NASA, where the guy who's supposed to count down the launch, somebody else just wanted the fame for that? It was just like 10. It's like, I thought we agreed I was doing it.
That is something that's kind of like a handshake agreement at most, I have to assume. I don't think that's anybody's job duty.
Oh, what if he's like really accurate at counting down seconds?
Yeah, I don't know why my immediate thought was to compare it to penalty kicks in soccer, where it's, again, a kind of like a handshake agreement on who gets to do what. And then also, yeah, people who will just like take the ball and be like, nah, I'm going to take it. I know we have an order or whatever, but I'm going to take this one.
Oh, that's not the coach. It's like the players just decide. Is it like if you're feeling confident that day, you're like, I know I can hit this. You just kind of call it and you're like, I'm going.
Yeah. Or sometimes they'll take the ball from other people. It'll be like a controversy in the news that week.
I'd be the cool person who, for the first time ever, took the goalie's position. I'd be like, nah, I think I got this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You sub in.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a rule against that. You might be able to do that. I don't know.
Do most of the leagues use the same FIFA rulebook, or is there like small differences between British and Spanish soccer? Or do they all use like one rulebook from FIFA?
There are country by country variations, yeah.
I was going to say, most old sports like that actually have like really oddly hyper-specific rules that would blow your mind, I think. I'm basing this off of Secret Base, the YouTube channel, where they do a series on rules that had to be added for specific incidents or players in different sports.
Ooh, I like that.
There was a NFL kicker. He was born without the front of his foot, so his shoe was custom built, so it was flat at the front, and he had like a massive advantage because of that. So they basically made a rule that was like, kickers have to have a normal shaped shoe.
And then there were some SJWs who were like, well, what's normal? Who gets to define what normal is in this society?
Yeah, presumably there was better wording to the rule they added, but
your shoe's got to be normal.
Probably just it can't be shaped like a hammer at the front.
Why don't they just use steel-toed boots?
Probably can't anymore since they added that rule.
Damn.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you? How's your week been? First week of work?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was fine. I'm glad I didn't have to go into the office every day. I mentioned that to my boss on day one. I was like, oh yeah, I've heard before that for like the first month, they usually want you in the office the whole time. And she was like, if you want to, you can be here. I wouldn't do it. And I was like, all right.
That is funny that you offered that up. If you want to force me to come in, here's your opportunity.
Yeah.
You're such a good employee.
No, it was chill. It was fun. I think still got a few people to meet, but everyone's been chill. It's been a nice time so far. And I'm just now starting to look at the actual reports that I'll be writing, and they look very doable. So it looks good to me.
And I know you've called me out for this behavior before, but what were you watching on the TV behind you? It looks like a cooking video, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, I was watching an Ethan Klimbowski video where he's making stews. No, he's making braises from around the world. This time it's Mexico. From Mexico.
I do like it when you can tell that somebody came up with a concept backwards from what they thought the algorithm would like. Like the person who sometimes comes up on my YouTube shorts, that's like making every president's favorite meal. And it's like, you definitely came up with that because you thought it would go viral before you actually like cared about president's favorite. Like that wasn't a passion project.
Yeah.
It just, you knew it had a good title.
My two things, presidents and cooking. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah. And I like the obscure ones. I'm all about like Harding and stuff, you know?
That came up during trivia on Tuesday. I got there a little bit late. Pierce also got there late. And so I was looking for a spot. It was crazy busy and there was no open tables. So I asked Trivia Daddy. I was like, hey, are there any, can I play inside? And he was like, if you play inside, you're not going to be able to hear. And so he just takes me and starts going around to tables and being like, how many people do you have? And he's like, hey, can you guys use 2 more people on your team? Do you guys want to join with these people? And I was like, I did not ask him to do this. I thought he was going to ask if I could use the other half of that table for me and my other partner. But yeah, we got grouped with a random team. And
I like that he treated you like the kid in class who doesn't have any friends and needs
to basically join a group. Although there was someone that had that way worse, where he was going around by himself asking to join teams, and we had to tell him no because we had too many people already. And like the person who I met that night was saying how she felt bad about it. But that same person, we were talking about presidential history, she said something about President James Harden, and we were like, the basketball player? Do you mean Harding? And she refused to let it go. She was like, no, I meant the president. You guys misheard me.
Wait, this was the stranger you got paired with?
Yeah.
You just immediately went into teasing a person you met.
I mean, it was like question 15, but yeah.
Yeah, nice. So it was nice people to talk to. It wasn't like a bad vibe. It wasn't like, oh no.
It was like 2 wine moms and then a younger couple. And yeah, they were all nice. They were really cool.
Nice.
We got 4th place. What actually worked out perfectly was the fact that like it was a very even knowledge spread. Like everyone did kind of pop in here and there with an answer. So it was actually pretty nice.
Nice. Adrian, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show before. Have you ever watched that show, Seinfeld?
Folks, what's the deal with Seinfeld?
Do you like it?
You date one teenager and now you're a pedophile. I'm an amoebophile.
Are you a fan?
I'm a fan.
Oh, well, you know, for me, there's a show that gets incredibly vulgar, so I just refuse to watch it.
That show, Seinfeld?
Yeah.
No, that makes
sense. Gets a little too vulgar for me.
Okay, so what do you watch instead? Is that not what the bit is? What's the bit here? I'm trying to find it. What are we doing?
What do you mean bit? That's just how I feel about it as a conservative Catholic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Talk about it, James.
Adrian, I have something to admit. That's not really my opinion.
Oh, my God. Yeah, admit it.
That's not really my opinion. I'm copying an opinion that I heard Pints with Aquinas, the leading Catholic podcast, say, and I just thought it was like a really cool thing, and I wanted you to think I was cool, so I wanted to say something from that podcast.
I did think you were pretty cool. Is there anything else from that podcast that you want to say?
Yeah, he said a lot of cool things in the episode I watched. Shout out to Pints with Aquinas.
And that's a Daily Wire podcast?
Daily Wire adjacent. I don't know if it's always been on there, but it is on there sometimes. I go back and forth about the SHIT word and cursing. I thought that was cool. I like for an adult to have the same conversations that middle schoolers have about their guilt around cursing.
And why were you watching this show?
You've given him a shout out on the podcast before. Very funny comedian, but just realizing how religious James Donald Forbes McCann is. And I was like, looking for him on various talking about his religion because I was curious, and he was on that podcast, and I watched it, and James still comes off like a pretty cool guy. I mean, except for the fact that he's like anti-gay and anti-abortion, like very seriously. He's still like pretty funny on there, abhorrent beliefs set aside, but
which you often do.
I don't know. It was just so curious to me. I mean, the host was like telling him about how he's like, I like you, but you know, your comedy is very vulgar and I don't think you should do it. I don't think you should do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what would he say?
I don't know. He just kind of was like, I think James is like very religious and he likes these people more than he likes comedy people. So he was like trying to be amicable. Like he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't really making an argument for why he should be able to do vulgar comedy. He was just kind of like, yeah, I think that's a good point, like we shouldn't encourage that stuff. But you know, I don't know, he didn't really respond to it in any sort of like dramatic way. He was just like, yes, I mean, there's some clean comedians I find hilarious and I wish I could do that. It's kind of just his take. But I guess his take was also like, being funny is so important to me that if I feel like I can say something to be funny, I'm going to take it. So his take was just like, I like it, I guess. But interesting view into a whole nother world of adults who are like deeply interested in the morality of curse words.
Yeah, it's a funny brain to have.
Yeah.
That's my big complaint about Christian battle rappers is it's almost like being a Christian musician in the sense that like, you can be someone who's religious and also do that thing, or you can be a Christian, whatever, you know? And so, like, the ones in battle rap where they don't curse are, like, I think A-Ward cursed for the first time in a battle, and it was a big deal, and I was like, "What? This is hilarious for grown people to be doing around each other. I don't understand this at all."
Well, I mean, I assume it's like other hip hop where it's most of them are religious or pretty religious. It's the ones who are like
a lot of people make that point. You know, that's what they say is, I can't remember that Big K line off the top of my head. Oh, no, I ain't saying I don't believe in God. In fact, I hope he exists. But if he made you in his image, then I know he a bitch.
That's awesome.
You had to run that back in the room.
Oh, let's run that back.
But yeah. I don't know why. That just feels so South Carolina coded to be like, I'm trying to say the S word less. I know it ain't Christian.
I know. It's odd. It's like, it's just an energy I cannot wrap my mind around.
Yeah. Do you have any other media roundup besides that
podcast? Oh yeah. Shout out to Pints with Aquinas.
Big fact, no cap verified.
Big fact.
Oh, did I tell you that last night I was talking to Phil on the phone and we just randomly brought up Jonathan Rush. And Jonathan Rush, I guess because he's on radio, he has a podcast now. And I was like, damn, when your idols become your rivals. I didn't realize we were in the same bullpen as Jonathan Rush. That's crazy. The audience, that's the guy who did the morning radio show for, I think, WNOK when we were kids, but he moved to the country radio station at one point.
I remember they had names. It was a woman and a man who did like the drops and the in-between for 104.7.
I forgot who it changed to from Jonathan Rush. I quit after he left. I was like, I'm riding with Jonathan. That's my dog. I think that was also about when podcasts came, or not podcasts, when iPods came out, so you didn't really need to listen to the radio anymore.
Yeah, that really was like, there was one... Maybe there was more, but it really was like if you wanted to listen to like pop music or anything that wasn't country, it was WNOK. Everything else was like Christian or
we had the
country
rock station, like 103.5 or something like that. Yeah, they play some Nirvana and some cool stuff. Or Steve FM, the one guy who's like, I just play anything. That's his shtick. That was my dad's station. So he played a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. My dad mostly listened to NPR, so that's what I was listening to.
Interesting. Libbed up. No wonder I'm crazy.
No wonder I'm so libbed up that I think cursing is okay.
I think 101.1 was the hip hop station. I'm sure Phil can correct me on this. And then I think 103.5 is the rock station. Man.
Shout out to all our South Carolina heads. But what else has been happening? What's going on in your life?
Oh, let's see. I had a little bit of media roundup. Mostly I've just been trying to get my schedule nailed down. But I watched a few things, heard a few things. I went and did improv for the first time in forever. It definitely got the bug in me where I was like, damn, I think I want to retake 101 and 102 and just start the whole series over again. That was very fun. I'll get to do it again at the beginning of next month, and then I have to skip a month because I do not identify as a woman, so I won't be able to do the free class for women. I watched an old Romanian movie at the Dreamland, The Son of the Stars. It was pretty fun, more for the animation than for the actual story. The story is kind of a series of rug pulls that was honestly kind of fun to watch in an audience because it was absurd. And then I watched Sarah Sherman's special on HBO.
I didn't know if she was like doing a pivot or like, oh, this is my more serious stuff. This is Eminem to my Slim Shady. You know,
if you went into that thinking this is going to be her more serious stuff, you're going to be disappointed. It is very much what I assume her old shows were like. Some of it kind of got me. Some of it was, I think, were some dry patches. But overall, it was pretty fun. And kind of the last bit kind of actually got me pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. I wouldn't go in there expecting like a really high laughs per minute, but if you like her on SNL, you'll probably like the special. And then I don't know, it was pretty fun. There's definitely some gross stuff in there. And the last thing was I saw a trailer on YouTube for a live music session that one of the YouTube channels that I like was gonna host. And the song that they played for the band in the trailer kind of caught my ear. So I started listening to this band. Apparently, they're from Beantown, from Boston, called Exit 18. I showed them to Pierce, and he was like, that is the most Boston group of folks I've ever seen. Alt girl with a guy, a white guy with a mustache, and a guy with a bowl cut. That's about as Boston as you can get. No, but they make really good music. They have a album called Incantations out, and Glitter On was the song that really caught my ear. But honestly, the first five tracks on that album is really fun. I think it loses a little bit of steam after that, but, you know, I think it's worth checking out. Good times. Kind of Coleman, identified the music as kind of like a heavier Paramore. So if you're into that, check it out. Exit 18 is the band. What about you?
I don't think I watched anything new this week.
Did you eat anything good? Did you hear anything cool? Did you smell
anything? I heard a lot of cool things on Pints with Aquinas.
Oh, okay. You want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Black Sheep.
Black Sheep. All right, we grew up as two ethnic kids in South Carolina. We were kind of black sheep. Although I think I don't think that's why I was a black sheep. I was also just kind of a weirdo. But
he's a creep. He's a weirdo.
I really don't related to that song.
Here. I heard it for the first time when I was maybe 22 or something like that, and I was really? Like, "Damn, where was this song?" Yeah, my friend was learning to play it on the banjo, so she started playing it for me.
What were the times in your life you felt like a black sheep, Adrian?
I mean, I've always said that my family's the black sheep, and my family were the only ones that don't, like, actively go to church and aren't conservative and weird. Actually, not even conservative. Well, I don't really know politically where my family lies, but definitely religiousness in terms of that. We were always the black sheep that way. Yeah, I was thinking about... it's fun. It's funny when you like retrospect on things that you haven't thought about in a really long time. But when I was thinking about trying to like be more active about making new friends, it brought me back to my second year of grad school when I forgot that like a big part of my thinking about moving to Sacramento was like, I don't really like hanging out with academic people that much. I want my main circle of friends to be normal people. And so that was part of why I moved. And then the pandemic happened. But yeah, I mean, I didn't feel like a black sheep, but I definitely had like a I don't want my main circle of friends being academic people. I don't, they're not my favorite people. And I think that was even in like the honors college like that. I had that same kind of feeling.
Sometimes when you know people from a very specific world, it can feel like every hangout's like, you know, what do you call it?
I've heard that complaint before. Yeah.
It can feel like every hangout is networking a little bit where people are like trying to figure out like, oh, how'd you get that? I mean, I assume for academics, maybe it's like, how'd you get that grant? How'd you like navigate this situation? And it's not that you're not really for.
Not really. No, the thing that I've heard of the complaint I was identifying was people who do research are very self-obsessed. And so every party is just people talking about what animal they study or whatever. And I'm really bored of that. And I'm like, yeah, totally get that. I would rather just talk about normal things.
You didn't want to hear more facts about a very specific type of butterfly?
No. Well, yeah. Well, I do. Yeah. But that's just a very specific part of me.
Oh, okay. It was the orangutan talk that got you. You're like, that's boring.
Orangutan.
Orangutan. Orangutan's one of those words that actually just means something in African, right? Like it's...
It means... Is it like... I ain't saying God ain't real. In fact, I hope he exists. But if he made you in his image, then I know he a bitch.
Man, there's so much more fishing than some of those languages than in English.
Yeah, yeah.
Orangutan means all that.
No, I wonder what orangutan means. Do you think it just means long arm? Long arm.
It's like when you find out, isn't Simba
finally
just,
long legs has met his match.
Simba is just lion in an African language. Swahili, I keep saying African language, which does feel like almost
it offensive.
Narrows it down. Yeah. It's like there's a billion languages in that continent. And I'm just like, I'm Googling orangutan etymology. So not African, Malay word. For orange
makes sense,
person,
because yeah, there's
orang meaning person in Hutan. Oh wait, not orange. Sorry, orang meaning person in Hutan meaning forest person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty good little descriptor.
Yeah, there are just little forest people.
I didn't realize that they were like native to I don't know the Pacifics.
I thought it was Sumatra and Borneo were the two main places where they still have orangutans in the wild.
Oh, maybe they're all over. Or maybe
there's one right behind you.
And he heard me making fun of him.
To be honest, I think from what I've seen of zoo footage and stories, orangutans are the ones where like when people like kids break into their cages or whatever, they just like mother them. Like they're very nice.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you do see that a lot with the unlikely pet friendships. It's always like an orangutan and a
yeah,
kitten.
And I'm always like, mother is mothering.
He's mothering. I'm saying it how you're saying it, but it doesn't feel natural. Can we just go back to orangutan?
No, because that's incorrect. I've been corrected on this many times. We can't just go back to the way things are once you have the knowledge, Paul.
Life is so tough. And now that I've listened to Pints with Aquinas and I know about how Jesus feels about cursing, I can't even say that's fucking crazy. Is a black sheep, is that like a common mutation or is it just a different like type of sheep?
Oh, I mean, I'm not a sheepologist, but yeah, I imagine it's probably like maybe like a mutation that's very rare and that's why it's the thing term came up. Otherwise, it wouldn't make much sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes the most sense for how we use it today, but I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm a little bit odd, but I like to be called a white tiger. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Which, have you seen that? That most white tigers are also, like, basically have intellectual disabilities, too? It's, like, something that comes with that mutation.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why some people consider it, like, immoral that people try to breed white tigers.
Ooh, interesting. That's a weird gray area, yeah. I don't know what to do about that.
To be fair, compared to a human, almost every animal kind of has a learning disability. Like,
No. I've heard lots of pet owners talk about how their pets are just as smart as us.
That's from the first episode of The League, is Down Dog, the charity for Down Syndrome dogs. He's like, how would you know?
That's kind of what I was thinking when you're talking about the tiger. I was like, what would that mean for a tiger?
He has trouble looking other tigers in the eye. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not going down that road. You're not taking me with you down that road.
Come on. What else would that tiger do?
No.
That tiger loves trains, maybe.
It would be cool if they had a white tiger working at Biddy and Bo's. Shut up, Biddy and Bo's. R.I.P. So you think it's more... you're saying that there should be a positive flip on being a black sheep. It should be a white tiger. It should be cool.
You should actually, be a black Siegfried sheep does Roy's seem cooler dude. Than a white sheep. There's something about that that seems like more Hot Topic, like a little more goth, a little bit more edgy.
I normally wear black, so that's the kind of sheep that I would have wanted if I was raising sheep.
That's the thing about black sheep. Sometimes we're proud of our differences. I think I'm kind of the black sheep of my family. Not too much. Looking up columns for this, there's definitely a lot of people who feel really insecure about their place in their family. If you Google like black sheep advice column, most of the advice columns are people who are like, I don't get invited to like family stuff and it makes me feel bad. I think I'm like the black sheep in my family in a much more like innocent and nice way, where everybody's like, Paul's kooky, but I don't know. It's not like I feel left out or disparaged
kooky
in some way.
Kooky, Paul.
Yeah.
Mm. That bohemian lifestyle you lead.
Yeah, I know. I'm basically...
I don't think we have a black sheep in my family. I think we're all kind of... we're all kooky.
Quirked up glots. Yeah.
Whoa, as that sounds, but okay. Oh, you know, that was the other thing that kind of made us black sheep in my family, is that we were the only ones who our parents didn't specifically raise us to speak Spanish first, and then we learned English at school. So not knowing Spanish was always a big point of contention in our family.
I think my family might be kind of the black sheep of our family, but not because we're different, because, I mean, a lot of your family came to America. We're just, like, literally far away. I guess that's not the same as being black sheep, just like we're not around as much.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
Because we just showed up for summers back home. Around that more academic groups, how many people...
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people in America are, you know, people have different interests. I feel like people who are academic usually have like one sport or something they follow. How did you feel as like a... Because you follow soccer and stuff. Did you feel like, these bunch of nerds nobody cares about? But like, I feel like most people like football or something at least.
No, that stereotype is very true. I did make a habit of pushing back on people doing the sports ball joke or whatever. So I had to do that a few times. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That I don't know if that's the... Well, that sort of has to do with like being from a non-academic background, I guess, sort of. But no, yeah, I mean, a lot more people who play D&D than watch any kind of sport. But I don't know. I mean, I played intramural soccer. So like, I had friends and like, especially like international postdocs, of course, like if they were from anywhere... Where, like, there's a big soccer culture, they would be down to play soccer and stuff like that, so... And go
at Clemson,
and watch games.
I always felt that way. I felt, like, such a weirdo for having a hard time going to games and stuff, because I just found football,
I only watched...
Like, so obscure.
I never watched a live game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched one on TV my first year, and that was about it.
And I was just like, I want to go for the experience a couple times, but, like, man, I'm definitely not going to every game. I just cannot, like, pretend to...
Did you actually go?
Yeah. A couple times.
Did you like it?
Year. Not like I like the experience, but like I don't, you know, once you're there actually watching it, it's just like I do not care about what's happening on the field very much. Mm. You know, you're just kind of getting bored by the second half. You're like a little bit like, when can we leave?
Yeah, the only thing I regret is not tailgating. I wish I had done that a few more times. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad used to get free sports tickets from his work every now and then. And so, like, we watched hockey together. We watched basketball. It was definitely a gendered, fucked up thing that he never took Dora Lee. But we went to watch hockey together. We watched basketball. We watched football. I think those were the three that he won at work. And I just we left early from the football game because I was like, this is very boring. I don't want to be here anymore. Basketball was awesome. I was like, this is great. I got chicken tendies. This is a fun thing to watch. Hockey was fun. But yeah, football was just like, yeah, not my thing.
Yeah, that's also how I felt when I would get free tickets from work for basketball games. It's like, I like the box. I like the free food and hanging out.
Basketball's fun to watch, though.
The accoutrement around sport can be a good time. Yeah. But...
yeah, yeah. The accoutrements. All right, do you want to get into an article?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Here is an article from our boys at Slate.com. Karen Feeding. So not Dear Prudy. Not Prudy Giuliani. Here we go. It's called How Do I Protect My Daughter from My Awful Family? Dear Karen Feeding. My 16-month-old daughter is on track for some sort of neurodivergent diagnosis. I was diagnosed with ADHD in third grade, and my parents took the stuff her with pills until she's normal route, which of course did not work. I was, am, question mark, absolutely the black sheep of my family. I can perfectly hear the words freak, weirdo, psycho, in the voice of every member of my extended family because that was what I was to them. And they made it clear in no uncertain terms. Whether they said it in a tone of frustration or amusement, it never felt good on my end. I don't want to get into the details, but all of the name-calling damaged me badly. Now, after having very little contact with my family for a decade, the realization that my daughter might be a little different too has brought this issue back to the forefront. I will not let her be ruined by them, or anyone, with such thoughtless comments. So far, there's no diagnosis, and I'm not even sure I will tell anyone that there is unless it's something major enough that they'll notice. If any of my family says anything to her that is even close to the things I put up with, I'll just ghost them forever and not care. How do I warn them of this potential ghosting so that they can watch their tongues without being confrontational? I'm not interested in them trying to address any of the past wrongdoings because none of them would take it seriously. They never have. And none of those people mean enough to me anymore for an apology to matter. I just don't want to sit by and hope they all do the right thing. Do you have a suggested script here that fits all of my criteria, or am I hoping for too much? 3, 2, 1, ghost. I did not know when this question was picked that the end was going to be my favorite thing, which was asking for a specific script. So
I hope we got to get right. I love scripts and advice columns.
Yeah, they're always really good.
Yeah, it never feels like the most robotic way to talk ever.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah, you should... stop your family from being rude to your daughter. I wouldn't start with the punishment. I think you should make your feelings known without... when you have a rule that I'm going to ghost you forever if you do this, it sounds aggro and weird. I would just start with telling them the boundary, if you will. Shout out to boundaries.
Mm. Shout out to Jonah Hill.
Without making your punishment structure... about how you'll ghost them forever, because that makes you sound like overly defensive.
Mm.
Anytime you tell somebody something like, I want you to behave this way because it hurt my feelings, mm-hmm. and if you don't, I will ghost you forever, like that goes from like a nice request to like, oh my gosh, they're coming at me, this is so like aggressive.
yeah, and from what it sounds like she's describing, I don't think any of these kind of folks are the people who are going to be receptive to that anyways. Yeah. It's hard because we're getting a one-sided analysis, but she's making these people seem horrible. To me, it's like, why do you want them there in the first place? I guess this is more of like a thing that we've talked about before, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you just show up to family stuff. I mean, it is tough to ghost a single person in a family, right? Because usually it's like family events where everybody's there. So you ghost one person, you kind of have to choose to ghost the group. Yeah, freak, psycho, weirdo. I mean, if it was cousins when they were kids, it might just not be an issue anymore. Like, kids say different things than adults, you know? But if this was, like, her uncles and aunts, I think that's a whole different thing where it's like...
because kids say the darndest things.
They do sometimes say the darndest things.
Oh, you know what I was...
sometimes they say the really damnedest things, if you're okay with a little bit of cursing on the pod.
That was a Cosby show. They were not cursing on that. Not to be confused with The Cosby Show. It tickled me, a conversation I was hearing yesterday during Eater Digest with Internet Shaquille's show on Fridays, where they were describing how when you're a really argumentative kid, one of the things that people will tell you is like, you're going to make a really good lawyer one day. And I was like, oh, I do remember hearing people say that. And I think Netshack was talking about how like, no, my family didn't say that. They would say, when you get to high school, you're going to be really, you're going to be bullied to death when you get to high school is their way of being like, you're a fucking annoying kid. And I don't know. I was just thinking about like different ways to tell kids that they're annoying. But
you know, the one I got a lot, which was like, you're such a polite kid, which is just a way of saying you're kind of odd for a kid.
You're very quiet.
You're very no, because I would talk to adults and I would try to talk to them like I thought adults talk to each other. So I think people were just
oh
like,
yeah, you're like, yeah, how's the Johnson file?
I'd be like, quotas are not being met, we need to up production. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I thought this is what adults say.
That is what you guys say to each other. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I got the vibe of homeschooled kids at Trader Joe's when they came through my line. You could always tell.
Yeah, it is funny the coded language people use for, you're a weird kid.
Yeah. These guys are more direct. They're more about their action.
Yeah, they were more, you fucking psycho.
Crazy.
You crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you ever ask for apologies from your cousins that mistreated you?
No, they were all very nice to me.
Interesting.
I guess there was like, they were all older than me. I was one of the youngest even then. So it was like, when you're 5 years older than
even
somebody,
then,
usually are.
I guess they could have made more. I guess that's how that would have worked.
Yeah. Well,
otherwise, I was like, that's just how time works.
Because I was the youngest in my direct family, but I was also the youngest in my extended family.
Okay.
Should have made that clear. So people are pretty nice. I did get a lot of comments about how American I was. Everybody was always like, this kid is so American.
Yeah. No, what would you do for this child that you have that you need to protect?
18 months? That is, I wonder what type of neurodivergent is obvious at that age.
Oh, yeah. Do you think they have a really dramatic episode, like that episode of Scrubs where he has to tell his friend that his kid has autism?
Oh, yeah. Man, what a good show.
Yeah, that was a really heartfelt episode.
That was.
He was like, hey, your kid's a little too organized with the blocks, buddy. You need to get him checked.
Oh, yeah, because the whole episode, Dr. Cox is worried that his kid's behind because he's not as good at playing, and that and then he gets to end the episode with a real win for his kid. My kid's normal.
Yeah, you kid with the four, with your Forrest Gump-ass kid.
He's like, I don't know how to tell you this, so I'm going to tell you through analogy. Your kid is going to be saying Jenny a lot.
I don't know how to break this news to you. I don't know. How do you break it to your child that you might have to cut people out of your life or their life because they're mean to them? Why not let the child decide? Why not let the child be like, I don't like when that person said that to me. I would rather not see them anymore. Why would you be in charge of that?
Yeah. Also, maybe you could wait till they were older and have conversations with them about, like, did that hurt your feelings? How did you feel when they said that to you? I mean, presumably they would be honest.
Do you think they're right? Do you think that's an incorrect assessment about you?
Yeah. Do you think you
on
are
on a scale of 1 to 10, how
psycho?
True is it? Yeah. Be real. Come on.
Yeah. You know, the way you talk to kids.
You know, the way you talk to your kids.
I mean, I guess it is your choice. It's like, what are you going to do if somebody does that to them at school, though? You know, that it's...
Yeah, cut them out.
Maybe you can cut out people, like, in your life, but maybe there's, like, the bigger question here is how do you tackle this in general? Not just, like... But I guess this is about her specific grievances with her family, so that's what she's worried about.
Yeah, it's so weird of being like, I don't want an apology. I just want to make it very clear. None of them mean anything to me at this
point
in my life.
It does sound like you are trying to litigate what happened to you as a kid a little bit, even with that qualifier.
Respect my qualifiers. Yeah, I don't know. It was, it seems, hold on, let me reread the question, but it seems like the answer is pretty obvious. I don't think you need a script. I would not make it a whole thing.
By actually verbalizing the punishment, you come off a little intense. 18 months feels a little early. I think I would bring it up as it becomes a problem. But I mean, hey, maybe it's her choice. If this is how she feels and she wants to set this hard boundary now, I guess go for it. To me, it feels like maybe putting the cart before the horse type thing at 18 months.
There's something, about it's hard to say you're over it and then say, I will not let her be ruined by them or anyone else with such comments that are thoughtless.
I didn't even remember that part. The word ruined. Like, you do need to figure out your own, how this affected you maybe a little bit more. Not just skate over that with, I'm fine now.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it, to be honest. All right, you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, from Karen Feeding. Dear Ghost, I have to admit to being curious about your end goal here. Your letter suggests that you want to keep a relationship with your family, but you also say that none of your family members means that much to you, and that they've never treated you respectfully. I might be reading into it, but you seem almost eager for them to say something that will give you permission to cut ties. If that's the case, then I'm not sure any advice on verbiage would be helpful, because you have created a setup-to-fail situation for the family. I encourage you to be honest with yourself about this, because it's not worth the time and energy to address the family behavior if you've already made up your mind. If that's not the case, and you really are interested in maintaining the relationships, then I think it's good that you give your family some guardrails in terms of the kind of behavior you want to see from them towards your daughter. One option would be to sit down with the family closest to you and have a heart-to-heart about how they injured you during your childhood and how you would want things to be different for your daughter. Given that you seem uninterested and pessimistic about that approach, though, I think your best bet, though this might not be the answer you're looking for, is to wait until someone says something that sits wrong with you and use that as a catalyst for conversation. I say that because if you bring up a conversation out of the blue about how you expect your daughter to be treated without being willing to hash out your past injuries, I think it has a real chance of coming off as a threat, i.e., no problems have happened yet, but I'm expecting they will, so you are now on notice. It could backfire on you if your family thinks they are now under the microscope without too much context for where your directives are coming from. They might write you off before the message even sinks in. If they do something that you find offensive, you might say in the moment, I don't appreciate how you just addressed my daughter. It brings back some real painful memories from my childhood. I never felt like I fit in the family. I don't want her to feel that way, so please use more positive words next time. If that feedback isn't accepted, or if the behavior doesn't change, then you can have a clear conscience about either leaving the gathering or withdrawing from the family altogether. Ultimately, no one likes or deserves to feel abused or ostracized by people in their lives. If you feel you can't risk a re-injury to yourself or their behavior repeating in your daughter's direction, then you need to ask a different question. But if you're willing to give them a shot at doing better this time around, I vote for course corrections along the way, rather than a directive up front.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
But I think what she opened with is kind of the key point there. It sounds like you kind of want to cut them off already. And like, when that's the case, then maybe just...
That's what I was saying, is I don't understand how you can say none of them mean anything to me and then be like, I still want them around my daughter to give them a chance. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those questions where you need more details. Like, she didn't offer up any of the ages of the people who said those things to her. She didn't offer up how often she sees this family a year, how close they live.
That's true.
Whether she sees them as a group or individuals. There's just like a lot of details.
She didn't send in a picture of herself so we could say whether or not she was a weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they hit on what you said, which is basically like, don't make it sound like a weird threat. And then out of all the questions we've read, a weird one to not mention therapy. It seems like a big part of it is that they're not over it.
Yeah, yeah. It is weird to say that to somebody who is insisting they're over it, though. That also seems like a little bit, I don't know. Maybe it's a tough truth they need to hear, but as an advice columnist, how much are you supposed to say about that specific... about a side issue that you've observed versus, like, let's just kind of concentrate on your daughter.
Yeah, I guess that's what matters now.
No cap.
All right, Adrian, I brought in a Dear Annie, feeling excluded by coworkers. I thought this would be a good twofer for your first week at work and for Black Sheep.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Dear Annie, as someone from the millennial generation, I struggled a lot with unemployment. In fact, sometimes it seemed like my college degree kept me from even the most basic job opportunities. So I was really happy when someone gave me a chance. Data entry was not my dream job, but it's easy enough and it pays the bills. I work in a large open office space, meaning that it's a large room with desks adjacent to each other. My company is made up of 8 women, and at first it seemed like a polite place. We all greeted each other as we came in every morning and said goodbye in the evening. As a person says bye at the end of the day, others usually respond, but since last week, everyone has been ignoring my greetings and goodbyes. At first, I thought it was because we were busy. However, I realized this is only towards me. While everyone is excessively kind to one another, when I say thank you, no one responds and nobody says thanks to me either. At this point, I don't know if it's just me being sensitive and taking a tally of people's responses. I am shy and quiet, but at least I always respond when someone addresses me. Is it the culture that has changed? I'm afraid that if I get another job, the situation will be same or worse. I have brought this up to management, but the manager is buddies with the other ladies, so she always goes to the question if I have proof of them being rude. Should I stay and ignore the situation? Should I move on? Thanks in advance for your advice.
Ooh, interesting. It's a small company for data entry.
Also, very gender heavy in one direction. Like, data entry does not, yeah. This isn't like they work at a makeup company.
They're doing,
you know?
Data entry for Hooters. It's like, why even for the desk jobs?
Why for the desk jobs do we have to wear the outfit?
It would be a mean girls club, I'll tell you that much. You know, that happened to me. I said that like it's an event and not just something that I read. But I was reading the Columbia subreddit of somebody complaining about the servers at Goats. I don't know if I ever took you there, but I really liked that bar. And someone in the comments was just like, it's notoriously bad there. They always just pick pretty girls to hire who don't actually know what they're doing. And I was like, hey, my friend worked there. And she was, yeah.
She wasn't that pretty? It.
No, I was like, no, she was pretty and she probably didn't know what she was doing. That's probably true.
I really thought you were going when she wasn't that pretty.
I was going with like, yeah, what do you say? It's probably true.
And she was kind of a ditz. Okay. I mean, shout out to Seinfeld, which of course I never watched because of its vulgarity. But that episode where Elaine is offended because all the women at the diner have big boobs, and then she learns that they're all the
and it's all his daughters. Daughters. He's like, is there anything that you think these women have in common? They're all my daughters.
God,
and she goes,
so
skin
vulgar.
Cancer.
Her peas one at a time, George.
Mm. He was looking at get a good look, Costanza.
These pretzels are perfectly spiced.
Perfectly spiced. That's what they always say. Serenity Now.
Mm, a festivus for the rest of us.
That was the one I was going to do next. You stole mine. I think I see a little nip.
And I approach the great beast.
Oh, the sea was angry that day.
The sea was angry that day, my friend.
Like an old man returning soup at a deli. Now, see, that's fun and clean. I don't know what's wrong with that. Did it ever blow your mind as a kid, the idea of Jerry going to a diner to get cereal?
Oh, yeah, that he only ordered cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very, like, alienating detail that it was supposed to be charming.
Even as a kid, I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I was like, that's how you know he's got too much money.
Oh, yeah, this person. It is weird that they didn't even try to acknowledge if anything had, like, actually happened that alienated the rest of the workers from them. Like, did you upset somebody? Did you get too drunk and say something rude?
Yeah.
Like, there's no...
That's a good point.
...even attempt to be like, I don't think I did anything.
Interesting.
And I feel like you should acknowledge that. You should be, like, at least mention that you don't think anything big happened.
There seems to be have some kind of inflection point, yeah.
They must not think anything big happened, or they purposefully left out a really important detail if something did happen.
Yeah.
It is, like, an anxiety-inducing thing to think about, like, everybody just starting to dislike you and you don't know why, you know?
Yeah, that's a horror movie right there.
Did somebody lie about me? How do I ask somebody about that without coming off weird? I think you need to not go to management, which first off makes you sound like a weird tattle to go to management about not enough thank yous and not enough goodbyes. I think you needed to have a single person who's maybe a little friendlier than the rest that you go, hey, was there any, like, did somebody say something about me? I've noticed a weird energy, like... Yeah. Have you heard anything about me?
Were people in the office talking about my Monday butthole?
Monday butthole is a big problem in the office. Oh, you know, all women, one office. If you stink up the bathroom, I could see that being a reason everybody
I've heard that from friends who worked like at grocery stores and stuff like that. They're always like, cleaning the women's restroom was the worst part.
Have you ever had this with a more individual thing where, I think you've told me about this, where you're like, I don't know if this person isn't texting me back because they're angry at me or they're not texting me back because they're busy. So I think we all have small versions of that once in a while in our lives, right?
Yeah. Like, and it is interesting where it doesn't seem like it's a super, like they're super close to anybody at work, but it does kind of mess with your peace to not have someone just return your hello and goodbye.
Yeah,
that just seems like
odd.
Such a simple part of your piece at work. Yeah.
Especially if you're working in one big room and you hear them all say it to each other. That is like very creepy almost in nature.
Yeah.
Like, why are they all turning on me? Maybe they know you're getting fired or something. Like, maybe like something slipped in a way and they're all like...
Interesting.
Not even upset with you, but like, it's awkward to talk to you now because they know something.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, this is anxiety inducing because it gets in your head where now it's like you're trying, like now there's a million things.
Yeah, now you think you're going to lose your job. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was definitely like reading up, kind of like trying to prepare myself for the worst, in case, the job is like, I don't know, really annoying to do or the people suck. And, I mean, I'm not surprised, but like, there are a lot of people who are very comfortable being resigned to like, I go in, I do my 8 hours, I don't like anybody there, and then I go home, and that's my life. And it's like, all right, interesting.
Do you know how you would try to handle this? Because I think what I said about like trying to find one person who seems even,
that seems not like more
friendly, just more empathetic in general than the other, than just try to suss out what's happening.
I would be very confrontational. I'd be like, it's normal to say hello back when people greet you, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, the manager thing does not sound like the right move. I mean, the manager, it's such a small office, they're probably in on this. Like, they know why the other people don't like you, and now they're probably telling them that you're a weird tattle.
They were also at the holiday party. They saw what you did.
Yeah. The hangxiety is my version of this. Like, after getting too drunk, being like, did I piss everybody off and they all hate me now?
Yeah. Did I break all of my friends' ornaments?
That only happened once.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is something you need to solve. I definitely get I wouldn't just let it be, but I think what you said was probably the best solution. Find the most amicable person and just try and figure it out. And like, if nothing's going on, it's going to be hard for them to reassure you, but then you at least have someone in your corner who's like, oh yeah, I'll talk to people and like see like and make sure that they're, you know, acknowledging you more or whatever. Do you think that the rest of the women are all part of a hive mind that she hasn't joined?
You think this is a pluribus situation?
I think it's a pluribus situation.
Oh, I did watch that show. Did I talk to you about that? I guess I didn't talk about it on Media Roundup. It's very prestige TV.
Yeah, what did you say? You said Vince Gilligan is unk and chopped? Was your exact words?
You know, if he's Vince cooked? Gilligan has a problem, it's that he's had too many imitators, and so now his style seems a little...
washed. That's crazy.
The energy of that show was just everything I would expect from a smart show in 2025 or 2026 now. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It came out in 2025.
Yeah. It's just funny how it just like the energy radiates something that critics will like a lot.
Let's see. Well, hold on. Let me reread the question really quick. I don't really get the like, if I go to another job, it can only get worse thing. I mean, it's like 50-50. I don't know. It's like, it could be...
Yeah, that makes it seem like maybe she's misreading the situation, because that wouldn't ever be my instinct. It makes it feel like she's hypersensitive to this, right? Because it's like, or he, they didn't really mention that. Could there be a gender element? Could this be the one man in an 8-woman office?
Maybe.
But,
excessively kind to one another. That does seem like something's going on.
Did I mention that I slept with all of their husbands? Every single one of their husbands?
I think you should go in... sniff a bunch of flowers on your way in so that you sneeze a bunch and see who says bless you. Because if they're not even saying bless you, honey, they hate you.
Suggest a team building thing? I guess if you're the one they don't like, though, it's going to really come off.
Ooh, that trust fall is going to hoit.
I'm leaning towards, the more we discussed it, that she's oddly insecure because of the comment about it would be just as bad at another job. It's like, I don't think that should be anybody's instinct if it's not personal mental block.
My instinct would be that, no, I think most places are probably pretty normal. So, like, if you're having a bad experience here, I think it'd probably be better.
Even if most people don't like you, most people are friendly, you know? Most people are, nobody's usually trying to antagonize at work, at least.
Whereas this feels more purposeful, I don't know. Did I tell you that this kind of happened to me this week?
Oh, no.
Yeah. On Thursday, everyone was like around lunchtime talking about going to try a new Thai place. And so I don't think my supervisor went, but I think my supervisor's supervisor and like a group of like, maybe it was a different team. And that's why I didn't get invited. Cause I don't think anybody from my unit went, but, they were all talking about going to try the new Thai place, down the street or whatever. And so They all went to go do that, and no one came to my cubicle to invite me, so I wasn't going to invite myself, and I had a soccer game to watch, so I just ate lunch at, I brought lunch too, so I just ate lunch and
watched
my soccer game.
That's one of those things that's like, it definitely had nothing to do with you, but it is, what would you call it, like a red flag from the energy of like, oh, they're not very thoughtful, like, it feels like you should go out of your way to get the new guy to the lunch spot, you know? It's like, oh, they're kind of a little bit, like, clicky.
Maybe.
Okay, Annie Lane, what are you going to say?
Dear Awkward.
Ordinarily, I would say it's worth following up with HR, but if the office politics are such that this woman will take sides with others over you, it might be a moot point. We spend so much of our time at work, and if you feel uncomfortable and like you're walking on eggshells when you're there, it might be time to look into other opportunities. You should also look at how you greet your coworkers. One of my favorite expressions is, one smile will get you two. Never heard that, and it doesn't even ring true a little bit to me.
Not really. Also, what GoCal Prov? What fucking outlet is this that's syndicating Annie Lane? Yeah, I don't know. I think one of the things that the writer didn't express that I think maybe is part of the formulation was the intro bit about how hard it was to find a job. So maybe I feel like that might be more of it than the thinking a new job's going to be bad, is that you just don't think you can get another job. I don't know.
Yeah, she did bring up an interesting point about what's the like, are you just a awkward mumbler?
Yeah.
Could it just be something that simple that you're not you're not projecting?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a big enough deal that they've sought out their manager for. I don't know. Yeah.
I disagree with Annie saying that this is worth taking to HR. It's just like, I kind of agree with the manager. If somebody came to you with this, you'd be like, okay, like, I want to help you, but I mean, this is vague enough. It's not like anybody's being mean. It's vague enough bullying that, like, you kind of, like, what is she going to do? Tell everybody they need to be nicer to you? Like,
I was going to say, could you just do the classic Paul move and say, everybody be nice to me? Just tell everybody needs to be nice to me.
And it's a rule that when you set, people will respect it. People are very nice to me. Lean into being the villain.
Start wearing a cape and playing organ music. I'm the bad guy. Ooh, take him out to karaoke and do bad guy.
Ooh.
Duh.
They're not going to show up to karaoke. You think they're going to carry her?
No, they'll come out for karaoke.
Yeah, they'll come out for karaoke and then they'll spill blood all over you.
You getting carried to karaoke?
You get carried at karaoke. All right, do you want to get into the third segment?
Yeah, let's rock it.
All right, Adrian, what are black sheep, if not fucked up animals? Fucked up weird ass animals.
That's not how I would put it, but okay.
Psychos, freaks, losers.
They're creeps. They are weirdos.
For our third segment, we're going to do weird animals with genetic mutations. That's a Twitter thread from creepy.org. So much like a black All sheep right. is a weird animal with a mutation. I actually didn't Google that. It might just be a type of sheep, but I think it's a mutation. Maybe it doesn't even exist. Maybe it's just a fun saying.
You have to think that it comes from somewhere. I don't know.
And we're not going to look it up, because if you're looking to learn, this is not the podcast for you.
This ain't that kind of power. Go to Jonathan Rush's podcast if you want to learn a thing or two.
Okay, so the first one we have is a baby crocodile with a unique tail mutation that looks like a mermaid's
baby
tail.
Baby croc, 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 croc. yeah, it's a little mermaid croc.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, this seems like it could be useful for swimming. Maybe in 100 years, every crocodile will have a mermaid tail.
Oh, you think it's going to be naturally selected?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it still has its legs.
Yeah.
So it just has a bigger, flappier tail. That's an interesting question. Now I have to think about, what does a crocodile use its tail for? Probably swimming, but more in a lateral, like a horizontal plane.
Yeah, I think it's like a snake movement for swimming.
Yeah,
right?
So I think that actually would be a hindrance then, right? To have that thing. If it went up and down, that would maybe help. But yeah, I think that technically does limit the mobility of that croc.
Yeah, it doesn't look that crazy or cool.
I think it looks kind of cool. But
do you think
maybe it'll get sexually selected. Maybe that makes him a total hunk.
Oh, you think this is going to be a... What is that called? Peacocking? What's the actual, like, biological word for that?
Fisherian runaway sexual selection.
It's probably hot to crocs.
Hot to crocs.
Hot to crocs.
H-O-T-T-O-C-R-C-O-C-R-O-C. You can take me high to cry.
Oh, you were going with that. I was thinking of the phrase hot to trot.
Oh, no. I was singing a song. I don't know what hot to trot means.
Oh, my God. The four-legged chicken is horrifying.
Ooh. Although, looks useful.
It does look useful. It looks like it could run like a mammal.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't fly. But maybe they should go this direction.
Yeah, it puts you in the it puts you in the wrong position, right? You're supposed to be kind of upright as a chicken, but if you're like hunched over like that, I don't know. Most of what they have to do is on the ground. Maybe it's not bad to have your face near the ground.
Do you think it can use those limbs? Maybe. It looks oddly like, you know, usually like a mutation.
Well, to be fair, the picture that we picked up or that's in the thread looks like he's going like, you got me. So it's kind of hard to tell what he's doing with those hands.
Well, I mean, on the left, it almost looks like it could run like a mammal, which seems really lucky that it would work. You know, like it seems like usually when you have extra limbs, they're like just this. Like in a random bad place. This almost looks like it could still work.
Yeah, maybe all chickens should be like this.
You think the other chickens make fun of this chicken?
Yeah, but then one night, Santa needed an extra fast source of transportation, and all of his other chickens only had two legs.
Okay, now we're getting into what I think a lot in the thread are, which is animals with two heads. This is a two-headed tortoise, which is another one where it looks like they might be fine. It looks like this tortoise might just be able to be a normal tortoise.
Yeah, do you think it's like the two-headed dragon from Dragon Tales, where one of them is really messy and one of them is really clean?
Oh, and one of them always gets the other one in trouble, and the left head is always like, when have I gotten you in trouble? And the right one goes, that's true, even though they get him into trouble every episode.
Yeah. Do you think it's that situation?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think somewhere on this list is going to be a cat dog?
That show was based off a real thing that happens.
Cat dog.
I never watched Alone that show. Did they have different personalities?
It was kind of weird. Oh, yeah. The cat was like Frasier and the dog was like a doofus. I don't have a character archetype for a doofus. Andy from the from Parks and Rec.
Gotcha. It was like a Frasier and Frasier's dad were connected.
Sure.
I wonder if... I feel like people would want this as a pet, right?
You think they're trying to breed this? That seems cruel.
Probably. How do you think they share one piece of lettuce, or they both eat separate?
Oh, the government's not paying for two pieces of lettuce for them.
The next one just looks photoshopped. Like, I want to Google if this is a real animal, but a dog was...
No, I've definitely seen this before in posts, yeah.
His torso short end. And so it's just like the back half of a dog with a head stuck on it with no neck. It is really odd looking.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like... You know what it looks like? It looks like if someone had the power to make children's drawings into reality, it looks like how a dog or how a kid would badly, poorly draw a dog.
You know, I could never figure out necks or like the backs of dogs while drawing them, you know, where the back meets the tail. I would always put like a weird curve.
You couldn't figure out their neck, their back?
There.
Any other parts you could figure out?
Nah, the rest was easy.
Okay.
I was drawing in perfect anatomical detail.
I hope people don't seek these out. That's this seems like it's not optimal for the dog.
No, this doesn't seem great. The next
one's a GIF.
Demon from hell.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a mutant baby goat with a human face.
With a human face? Oh, I don't like that. I thought it was a primate. I thought it was a monkey.
What was that farmer doing with that goat?
Mama? Yeah. Mm. So wait, that's just that's a picture of LeBron James as a kid.
Goat. As a basketball fan, you know all about that.
Yeah. I wish I knew enough about basketball to have like a controversial opinion about who the goat is.
Yeah, this one's freaky. They should kill this.
Yeah, it's the Antichrist.
Oh, whoa. A moose with a mutation commonly known as sleigh hooves. Its hooves are like just overgrown until they kind of look like an axe.
Until they look like an axe.
Well, how I guess a sleigh is how they described it. That like it's
curved. It looks like how elves' shoes are. You know, like the green pointy ones where they like slope up.
Yeah.
It does not. I mean, I'm obviously, you know, I've taken some animal welfare courses or whatever. I my main concern is with how this animal is doing, and it does not seem to be, it does seem to be a quality of life downgrade for the animal. I can't say I'm for this one or that I want it to happen more often.
I think that's kind of like the alligator where I'm wondering if this could be beneficial. Could it ski down the mountain?
That's what you think it's doing?
Yeah.
It's going on its back too and just skiing down? Because the front hooves look fine, right?
I think it could stand tall on its hind legs and ski down slopes.
And you think that's optimal for, like, predator avoidance? Or what do you think that would be needed for?
For fun?
Oh, for fun. And, you know, natural selection is all about who had the most fun. That's the thing about natural selection. I mean, if it was in a eating competition for some dip, it'd be pretty OP.
If it needed to get the most guac, if that's what it was naturally yeah. selecting for.
Everyone's like, just don't double dip. And he's like, oh, I won't. It's a big ass scoop.
That's kind of the facial expression this moose is making. Oh, I won't.
Dude. That happened to me recently where I was sharing a meal with a friend and they actually hit me with the, oh, you can dip right into it, just don't double dip. And I was like, what are we doing here?
Well, what are we, in an episode of that vulgar show Seinfeld? No double dipping?
Oh, well, yeah. What is this, Seinfeld? Double dipper.
Thanks. Thanks. A two-headed shark.
What's the deal with me double dipping into an underage girl?
What's the deal with me dipping below the age of consent line?
So this one seems less workable than the two-headed tortoise, if I'm going to be honest.
It looks like they couldn't decide what direction to go. He's going to be like, let's go right. And the other one's like, let's go left.
These are the ones where they have opposite personalities. I think the tortoise was just two bros. I think this one's like a wife swap situation.
Also, the facial expression it's making is straight up kill me. Life is pain.
Well, I mean, it's out of the water. It can't breathe.
It does look like it's not doing well on any front right now. This one is sad, man.
Yeah,
and I know they don't breathe out of their mouth, but it really looks like they want a big mouthful of water so bad.
Can't say I'm a fan.
Next up, we got the two-headed calf. This one is horrifying.
Yeah, again, it's not one of those, like, seems kind of chill situations. It is, like, two-headed in a way that feels inconvenient.
This couldn't be a mutation that helped with predator avoidance. You look left, I look right.
That's why they have the eyes on the side of the head. That's what that evolved for.
Uh-oh.
Do you think they ever do that joke when they teach a class? They're like, I got eyes on the back of my head, so don't even think about misbehaving, boys.
So this calf evolved to be a teacher.
See, I think we can find a place for everyone's abilities to be used.
The next one is crazy.
Whoa.
So these look like antlers. It kind of looks like maybe a type of cancer, but it looks like
yeah, some kind of growth regulation deficiency.
Yeah, these antlers are just like on these deer growing out of control until it looks like a lightning bolt or like a tree with a million branches.
The one on the bottom left looks like a big leaf of kale.
Yeah, oh, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a cruciferous type of vegetable, like a big leaf of that. These are kind of metal. These are kind of sick.
I wonder if this always regrows that way, because, right, they shed their antlers
yeah.
every season. I wonder if this is, like, one bad season, or if this is, like, you get this once, it's happening every season.
It's always going to grow like that? I could see that being the issue, yeah.
I mean, this seems like it would definitely be bad for, like, now you have all this extra weight to carry.
That's what I was going to say, is that unless there's undue issues with how much weight is on the head, I don't know if this one seems that bad, and it kind of seems kind of cool.
It does seem kind of cool. This one evolved for, you can hang as many coats as you need.
This one's also going to the dip party and going, oh, I won't double dip. Don't worry about me.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, I've seen this picture before.
A one-eyed albino shark.
That's got too much going on. This looks like it's straight from Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, it does, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it is crazy how the one eye is right in the center of the head and it looks like a cyclops from mythology, you know?
Yeah, you can see where the ancient civilizations came up with these ideas.
Okay, next up we have a Hyphalosaurus, which I don't know what a normal one looks like.
Yeah, for all I know, that's what they look like.
They're those sea dinosaurs.
Oh, cool. Definitely couldn't get on Noah's Ark.
This one definitely did not get on Noah's Ark. And so this one, we just have a crustaceous aged one in a cave in China that they found. Two heads. That's shockingly well depicted in the fossil. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, the fossils don't usually look that pretty. I usually need people to show me what I'm looking at. But that's obviously a two-headed dinosaur in that fossil.
Yeah, the artist's rendition was not that hard to make, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot to the imagination there. Again, just two heads. I don't know. Better than one.
Better than one.
Some would say. Crocodile with what? With feet?
Melanistic. What does melanistic mean?
Oh, so it's just black. That's cool.
Oh, okay. So it's just blacker than a normal crocodile.
Okay. Yeah. So what would that crocodile sound like if he spoke?
He really is the black sheep. This one looks cool. This one looks like it just makes it more goth and more metal.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Doesn't seem to affect quality of life that much.
Whoa. The next one is crazy because it's a two-headed turtle. And it seems like it. Oh, he's biting his brother. Don't bite your brother trying to get the food.
Because he wants the food.
They're trying to bite at the pellet of food, and this turtle, it's like he's missing and biting his brother.
Yeah, they're doing a really bad job, yeah.
Yeah, be nice.
Ooh.
This next one's a house cat with a muscle-related hypertrophy. It looks like a buff cat. Have you ever seen those pictures of buff kangaroos? Buff animals do look crazy to me.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a gorilla shave down or whatever.
This is the animal that Noah didn't let on the ark.
I mean, it's literally in the caption, it says suffering, so you have to imagine this sucks for the animal, so otherwise, I mean, it's also not pleasant to look at, to be honest. I'm not a fan of this one.
Oh, really? I think it kind of looks cool. I mean, I wouldn't want it as a pet, but it doesn't, like, gross
me
out.
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, I don't want to be in the same room as that thing. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm sure he's nice. Or she's nice. I probably should have assumed the gender just because it's buff. Just because it's ripped.
Being buff's a male cat thing. Ain't no lady cat getting gains like that. Should that cat be allowed to play sports?
The next is a frog with eyes inside of its mouth instead of coming out of its head.
Now, do you think when he's teaching a class... no, this one... they say you eat with your eyes. So, not bad to be able to look at your food while you're eating it.
Oh, okay. We got a white moose.
Very easy to spot. I will say that. If one of the issues that it suffers in its life is predation, that's not good.
Yeah, but it looks incredible. It looks like the most mythical creature I've ever seen.
It does, yeah.
You can see why people thought the Yeti existed.
It's definitely like Jesus that came down to human form or whatever, to animal form to do something. You have to protect him.
It even has like a beard. Like it looks wise.
Yeah.
It's not a beard.
That thing talks.
Gullet, but it definitely talks in English.
Yeah. Probably Scandinavian. Some kind of language.
You're right. This is more like a Loki would come in riding on this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, extremely rare blue lobster.
I was just thinking that it still looks pretty delicious. I'd still eat that.
It does have those like little claw grips to stop it from snapping, so it does look like it's from the supermarket.
It looks like it's begging to be eaten. Serve it in the shell?
A 96 tentacle octopus.
Oh, is that one of those things where that's a multiple of 8? It is, right?
80 plus 16, yeah, that makes sense. Wait, you think Octomom, it had an Octomom octopus and all the babies fused in embryo?
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened.
Octomom octopus had a 96 tentacle. Oh, wait, it would be a, what's the prefix for 12? It would be a...
Deca.
Decamom?
Dodeca? Deca's maybe 10. I mean, do you think, because a lot of those, it doesn't look like it has even 8 full-size tentacles. It kind of looks like it has like 96 little shrimpy little, this thing doesn't go to the gym type thing.
It looks like a hydra where every time a tentacle got cut, it got, because it's like
branched.
Some
of them do kind of branch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely not 96 tentacles. There's like, I think 8 tentacles with branches on a lot of them.
Yeah, that one doesn't seem super useful to me.
It can feel a lot of things. Oh, whoa. This is another one where it just looks magical. A cat with 4 ears.
Yeah.
It looks like it's out of an anime. Ears
right below its main ears, yeah.
It is when it looks symmetric in the right way, it does just make it look like another species you don't know about, you know? And that always feels like, not lucky is the right word, but you know what I mean? Like, doesn't look like it's really going to affect it too much.
It looks like it should be in the forest and it should have a little crown of like flowers.
Mm. Yeah, it does look magical, huh?
It is a little derpy though once it starts moving around in the GIF.
Yeah, I'm sure once you have one mutation, right, there's probably other things wrong.
Potentially, I don't know. Sometimes they're not polygenic.
Okay, and I think that's it. The rest are just two-headed things.
Yeah. All right, cool.
How do you feel about that, Adrian? Scorpion. All these animals should be loved. They should have a home. They shouldn't feel like they don't belong.
Well, I assume most of them are in the wild, right? What do you mean? What does that mean?
They shouldn't be black
sheep. Is there an unhoused crisis of lobsters that are blue?
Did we learn anything about how all God's creatures should feel like they belong?
Yeah, they all belong. And not to be gawked at in a Twitter thread.
Mm, on creepy.org.
On creepy.org. That can't feel nice. That can't be a good feeling. No one's calling their parents to be like, Mom, I made it onto creepy.org. I'm the creepiest. They said I was a freakazoid.
What if the last one was just a picture of me and you, and they were just like, look at these two freaks?
It had a thing where it figured out who was logged into the website and then put a picture of you at the end. That'd be pretty funny. Is there a code that can do that? Can we code that?
We could code that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, really, it's society. It should have just been a picture of society.
The last one should have just been a white man, things. You know, in the climate we're living in.
Ooh, come on now. Yeah. But but also at the end of that, there's a Twitter conversation about how, but we don't mean you, white guy. Like, we mean white guys, not like you in particular, my friend. You don't have to be worried about it. Like, we're talking about men, but not like all men. You know what I mean?
Well, it's Twitter. So at this point, it would be a picture of like a foreign person or a Jewish person and be like, look at this freak, or X.com. Hey, yo. With how X.com is nowadays.
Yeah.
But yeah, any final points about black sheep?
Yeah, if you're a black sheep, you gotta find your own family, and you're super heckin' valid, and it's sometimes it's cool to be the black sheep.
Yeah, big fact. It's probably good for people not to feel like black sheep, because it helps you avoid becoming a weirdly salty person who dislikes people different than you. Mm. So you should feel beautiful and unique in your own skin, and that'll help you navigate the world in a way where you don't become embittered and a little resentful of quote-unquote normies. You're beautiful. The world's beautiful. Don't let them judge you. That's my big fact.
Cool. That was lengthy. My no cap is, hey, no matter what kind of black sheep you are, there's other black sheep to hang out with. I'll tell you what.
Mm. And or brown sheep. And or yellow sheep or red sheep. Whatever type of sheep you are.
Violet sheep, indigo sheep. Have we changed Roy G. Biv yet?
Isn't it indigo? Isn't a color? It's just
is that
violet.
True?
I don't know.
Is that I feel like that feels like Pluto going away. I feel like they would have gotten rid of one of them at one point. They seem redundant.
Was Pluto redundant? That's why they got rid of it. They were like, we have enough.
No, it was too small. That's what it was. Everyone knows that.
That's why your penis isn't a planet.
I'm the black sheep of this podcast. I'll tell you what. I'm getting bullied. All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
They declassified your penis as a penis. I thought it was too small.
Neil deGrasse Tyson saw my penis and said, oh, we got to change some stuff about how we're classifying things.
Okay. Bye, Adrian. It was fun.
Adrian's penis had it coming. All right. Bye.